Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Dr. Mongwe, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you and to your listeners.
I hope you're fine today.
I was talking to yourselves, let me put it that way, last night.
Okay.
And I was talking about how at 3 o'clock I'll be starting a funeral service at church.
Oh, today?
Yes, even as we speak.
Oh, man. All right. So, which means that we should not actually be going any further, because you need to focus on that.
I had hoped maybe arrangements could have been made, but let's do a quick one.
Okay. Let's do very quick one. Let's try. I do hope that we are not going to spend time. You know, we're talking about the value of time and God's timing. God's timing. We always hear this theme about God's timing, our timing, His timing. What does it really mean, God's timing? Because we hear this a lot.
I think the phrases that could often be construed to be speaking to God and God's timing will be phrases like "in the fullness of time," but there is also where God, He Himself, through His prophet, says, "At the right time, I will come through."
Okay,
I can add another scripture that is a neighbor to perhaps one of the most loved scripture, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, where God says, "I know the plans that I have for you. These are plans to prosper you and not to harm you," and so on.
Yeah.
"And to give you a good future." But the verse just before that says, I'm paraphrasing deliberately. I'm going to leave you in Babylon for 70 years. So when you read from verse 1 of that passage, God is sending a letter. He speaks to Prophet Jeremiah, who had remained in Judah. Most of us believe it's because the captors had looked at his age and felt he's going to be a liability, expecting him to walk. So they left him. They picked up the younger people, the more vibrant people, as captives, which would include the four Hebrew boys who we believe were in their early adulthood, if not late youth. So God goes back to Judah, Jerusalem, and He says, "Jeremiah, I want you to write, to pen a letter to the captives in Babylon." And He tells him even how to transmit that letter, who must take it over. And then He says, "These are the words of Jehovah to my people that are in captivity in Babylon." And then He says to them, "There are prophets who are misguiding you, giving you a hope that you'll be delivered sooner. But here is my message to you. First, you guys, Mary, right there in Babylon, without saying Mary the Babylonians, marry and give your sons and your sons' sons to marriage." So He's already talking to three generations that must get married there. Why? Because you're going to be there for 70 years. He says plant orchards, not low-hanging fruit gardens.
Mm-hmm.
Plant orchards, because you'll be there until those, that's the preacher now explaining.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll plant the seeds for orchards, for fruit trees. They will take the time they take to reach to maturity, to fruit. You'll still be there.
Yep.
And it's going to be 7 years. But at the end of the 7 years, I will come through to deliver you because I know the plans that I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
So he explains the plans he has for them within the context of time. He contextualizes them within time.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, in God's timetable, he's coming through for his beloved people who are in bondage. It's going to happen in the fullness of time. And in this context, the fullness of time, it's 7 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, that is where I get the question or the concept of God's timing and God's timing not being by chance and so on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He knows what he wants to do for his people at the time he wants to do. In his own wisdom, divine wisdom, he knows when to come through for us when we are asking for him to come through.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's the best illustration of how God end time or God in time comes through for his people or schedules what he's gonna do for his people.
Now,
yes.
Pastor, tell me the coming of Jesus. Is that also embedded in timing? I mean, he may have come sooner than the time that he came. And he would have actually even come later, maybe in our generation even, because I think his presence in our generation would still have been relevant. Is there any indication why that particular time, is that also about God's timing, or it just happened to have happened that period?
Okay. For his first coming, we know it was God's timing.
Mm.
And where we can talk about a timetable. God, it seems to me, he did not only know when the Messiah will come through to the details of even pointing up to the year of his coming.
Mm.
This is the first coming that is. And this is captured in Daniel's prophetic writings.
Yeah.
That would include his dying that was foretold as well. But once we move away from that time-specific prophecy, when it comes to his second coming, when he comes now as a redeemer to come and take us out and bring an end to the history of the earth as we know it, the fallen earth. That one, Jesus has said to his disciples, the time for that has not been revealed.
Hmm.
Leadership, is there a space for me to park that side?
Yeah. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
We have the provision that to only look for the signs of the nearness of his coming. And we are warned actually to not even put dates for that. He himself had said to his disciples, no one knows the hour, meaning that has not been revealed. So we cannot work on time lines when it comes to that specific one.
Uh-huh.
He says only the Father knows that. He said in the Son, have not been told when he should come back.
Yeah. Now, before I let you go, Pastor, I can see already that you're with people and you need to be going. Now, the coming of his the Messiah. I mean, he says it's going to be coming soon, and of course, it's been years. I'm getting into the issue of time. Sorry.
Yes.
Now, couldn't he have come sooner? Or can he even come much later? Is there a specific period that we're looking at, a ballpark period that this thing may happen around? Of course, we do hear from Matthew when, Matthew 24:14, when the gospel shall have preached everywhere. And then the end will come. That's what it says. But it seems that, with people getting born every day, new people coming into the world every day, this thing is going to be perpetual. It's never going to happen. So it looks like the new generations come and they also need to hear about the gospel, and the older one dies and the new generation comes. It's a never-ending cycle. Is there some kind of timing that is maybe embedded in his soon coming?
And the response to that would be the same one that Christ gave to the disciples. He has not given us the timing. So we can only expect that the fulfillment of the signs that points to the nearness of his coming, when they're being fulfilled, like the one you're talking about, the preaching of the gospel, plus the other ones.
Okay.
For me, those will give us an idea. Now, what you're saying the first time, it hits my thought that new people are being born. And sometimes even new countries are being born. But I think it ought to be possible for us to understand that in as much as new people, children are being born, and therefore there are new generations that are being generated at any given time. But if that generation, let's say whatever will be the last generation and the youngest generation, when they reach years of accountability, it shouldn't be a big deal for God to bring that to an end. Those who would still be too young to be held accountable for their actions, they would not need to have been reached by the gospel as we understand the gospel reaching people.
Okay.
Because they will be saved or not saved, depending on their age, whether they've reached the age of accountability. Let us also remember that the gospel may be preached into the rest of the world. For me, I'm hearing emphasis that the world will be covered with the gospel of, and if the gospel, by gospel we mean the preaching of the good news, which is Jesus who has come for our salvation. I then balance it with the provision that any years of ignorance, God winks at those. Yes. But the good news is that God is going to make it possible for us to reach the world as a globe. Now, having said that, there is an author that you and I would be familiar with. She speaks to how God will pour the latter rain as one minor prophet
in the Old Testament will point to and talks about the outpouring of the latter rain. So when God wants to wrap up the work of the spreading of the gospel, the speed at which that will happen will be at such a tremendous speed that before we know it, the world is covered, as prophesied. And I want you to know that you as Zama and yourselves as AWR and Seed Media, we are participants in living in that age where it is possible for the gospel to enter new frontiers literally every minute.
Yeah, yeah.
The challenges of today, for instance, is that the blocking of the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ has to be fought in high places. For instance, they have to jam the signals of the broadcast.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, I was in two countries in Europe where you cannot make calls via WhatsApp because those calls will be encrypted. So they just jam the possibility of making calls over there. But still, the people have a way of going around that. If it's not on WhatsApp, it can be on another app. So there is a possibility of us reaching the corners of the whole world as the Christian community within a very short space of time. And the good news is once that has been done, regardless of the response of the generations that are alive at that time, the end comes. It doesn't wait for everybody to believe, but for everybody at that time to have been given an opportunity to hear the good news.
Lovely. Well, Pastor, let me let you go. Thank you so much for indulging us this afternoon. We're hopefully going to be catching up with you tomorrow.
All right. Well, let's work on that. Thank you. God bless your ministry one more time.
Thank you, Pastor. Blessings.
Talk to you probably.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.